Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Revelation chapter 3. We are looking this evening at verses 7 through 13. We're not going in depth into all that these verses have to say, but there was just something on my heart and mind that made me think of these and the situation that we are in as a church, and I thought that it was a blessing to me and it would be a blessing to the rest of us. So in that, hearing that noise from the congregation, I'll also remember to turn mine off in case there's any potential need, and we'll go from there. I'll go ahead and read verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, this church in Philadelphia that Jesus is speaking of, it was a real church, it really existed, and it is one of the only churches that we find of in the letters to them here in Revelation 2 and chapter 3 that has no negatives said about it. It has nothing that they are doing wrong or they're allowing to go on that aren't there, and I'm not choosing to relate us to that part of that church. What I'm looking at is what he says about the church itself. He says that he, Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of his churches, and he has, he is true, he is holy, he has the key of David, and he opens and no man shuts and no man opens. And he says to the church in Philadelphia, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. You know, there have been times we have been endeavoring to preach here in this place for almost 9.5 years. And we have seen some people come and go. There's been, you know, if we had everybody that had been attending here, the room would be full. But they're not attending here anymore. And there are times that gets very discouraging. It certainly gets very discouraging to me that things haven't grown numerically, that there aren't more people hearing the Word of God. And sometimes I even look at myself and say, well, am I doing something wrong? Is there something that's within me that I'm not doing correctly? And it's not a bad thing to have a self-examination, but it can be very discouraging to do so. But then you read a passage of Scripture like this, And Jesus says to this church in Philadelphia, he says, you have a little strength. And when we look at Berean Baptist Church, that would actually be very clear and obvious that we have only a little bit of strength. There aren't 30 people here. There aren't 100 people here. The churches that we came from back in the States, if a church had 80 to 90 people, it would be considered a small church. Here it would be a mega church. And here we are gathered together this evening, and there's 5 of us. And yes, some, you know, we could have 6 tonight if everyone we would expect to be here was here. And we said, that's small. That's tiny. That's not much. And you say, well, even saying you have a little bit of strength seems like an exaggeration. And yet, the Lord says to the church in Philadelphia, you have a little strength, and I have set before you an open door. And no man's going to shut it. The only one who can shut it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that to that church in Philadelphia, and he has given us opportunities over the years. We've, at times, we had an after-school club We're teaching children the Word of God and about Christ and the Gospel. And then we had a Sunday school. Well, the only children that are still here from those things are my children. We would hope that others would come, that the seeds that were sown will bear fruit in their hearts and in their lives. But that's not something that we can control. But we've had to recognize that sometimes that door is open and then that door shuts. And we don't try and keep banging on that door to get it to reopen again. We say, okay, what other open door is there? And amazingly enough, we, through a real long series of circumstances, we've been given an open door to go to India. Now, the circumstances, I'm going to relate them to you just for your background, for your encouragement. So we had moved here, and there were only four churches that were part of the work of sending us here from the United States. And as I was talking to a pastor of one of those churches, he mentioned to me that he had been teaching someone in Nepal for about a year and a half. He had been teaching a young man over Skype. They had come across one another somehow, and he had been teaching him the Word of God. And he felt that it was time for someone to go and visit that man in Nepal. And he said, Chuck, unfortunately, my health doesn't allow me to go. He said, I take medicines that have to be refrigerated, every day. And there's just not that confidence that I can go there and have a time of, that would be a blessing with my health conditions. And I said, well, I'm not sure if I've got any answers for you, but I'll pray about it. And I started praying about it. Then I spoke to Brother Hunt, the pastor of Pleasant View Baptist Church, and mentioned it to him because he had been thinking that he wanted to go to China. And the Lord hadn't opened that door. And I said, you know, the pastor of Meadowthorpe, he said that there's an opportunity in India, I mean in Nepal, to go to Nepal and work with this young man, and then maybe he could be a missionary out of Pleasant View Baptist Church. And that's how that trip came about. And so we planned it, and we went to Nepal. And one of the men that came from the church in Kentucky, he knew a man in India. And he had worked with that man with dealing with some orphanages. And he's a Christian man. And he said he'd be a really good translator for us. Because obviously not everybody there would be going to speak English. And we certainly didn't speak Nepali. This man knew Hindi, Bengali, the Orissa, and he also knew Nepali. Besides knowing English. He's got five languages under his belt. He said, we'll get him to come with us. From India, he'll arrive and we'll all meet up and then he'll translate. And so that's what we did. We went to Nepal and Brother Anocha, the man in Nepal, he's been blessed. The Lord has saved souls there and the church has been formed. And you think, wow, that's a wonderful open door that the Lord has allowed us to go through. And he is a missionary that we support from this small church here every month. And it was an interesting time because the man that came from India was hearing everything that we were preaching because he was translating it all. And he said, I haven't heard these things before. There are doctrines that you're teaching that I've not heard. And he said, I want you to continue to teach me. And so myself and also Chuck Hunt from Kentucky have been teaching and working with Patab since 2015 and working with him and teaching him things. And we went and we visited there in 2018 and preached the gospel. And we went to different churches to encourage them. And we did evangelistic works. And Patel was like, I want to do more. And so we prayed about it. And we thought, oh, in 2020, we were going to make a trip to go to India. But that didn't work out because of the pandemic. And it's not until this year that we said, okay, we think we're going to go. But the church in Kentucky, they didn't have any resources. Even though they're 90 strong, they didn't have any resources. They have a Christian school, and they funnel money into the Christian school because of the teaching of these children. And they said, we can't. We have no way to do it. And we said, well, maybe the Lord is going to provide a way for us to do it from this church. And we started praying about it. And as things have come along, as we desire to go to India and to teach local pastors the Word of God, and then to set up a, Lord willing, a school there, a yearly school, not all the year round, but once a month, I mean, a month out of the year school there, to teach those local pastors, the Lord has done amazing things. He has brought in all the funds required, not just to send two of us from this church, but also to send three individuals from the church in Kentucky, and to bring in Enocha from Nepal, and to bring in 50 local pastors from different areas of India, all to this one place, to be able to learn the Word of God, to be able to then teach the Word of God to others. And not only that, he has worked out the details for our visas. He has worked out the details for our flights. And to me, it's just an amazing representation that when the Lord opens a door, he opens the door. And he's going to provide the means necessary to go through the door. It's not us doing it. It's not the fact that, oh, we've got this wonderful plan and we're going to do this. We can make any plans we want. But if the Lord doesn't want us to do it, he's going to shut the door and no man is going to open it. That's what this passage is telling us. But if he opens the door, and when we say we want to go through the door, that he's going to provide the means to go through the door. And it doesn't matter how much strength it looks like we have from the outside. Because it's not our strength, it's his strength. That's where it comes from. And there is something about that that ought to cause us to be thankful. To be thankful that the Lord is willing to open a door for us. To open a door for us and to use us for whatever the work is that he would have us to do. And that makes me think of Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15, Paul says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You know, it doesn't matter how many of us there are. And it doesn't matter because it's the work of the Lord. But we have to remember it's the work of the Lord. It's not my work. It's not anybody else's work. It's not the church in Kentucky's work. It's not Patab's work. It's not Enoch's work. It's the Lord's work. It's his work. And whatever we do, we are doing for him, not for us, not for praise from people. We are doing it for the Lord. That not just here in this place is our hope and desire that the Lord would build a church, but also there in India and also there in Nepal. He has opened doors that I would have never dreamed. I remember my wife, Jennifer, asking one time, and she said, and she loves to travel. If you know her at all, you know that. And she said, "Oh, I'd love to go to India someday." And I said, "I have no desire to go to India. There is no part of me that ever wants to step foot in India." I said, "It just doesn't look appealing in any way. The food doesn't look appealing. The environment doesn't look appealing. I don't want to go." Well, then the Lord has a sense of humor, and he says, "Oh, you're going to go to India." And Jennifer yet has not gone to India. And who knows if she will ever get to India. But this is the second time I'll be going to India. And it is not about, "Ooh, I want to go and I want to see the Taj Mahal, or I want to see the Red Fort, or I want to see all these different places." No, what I want to do is I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord in that place because he's opened a door. And I want to be thankful that he has allowed me to be a part of that, to be a small part of that. It doesn't matter if it's a small part or a big part or whatever part. Why? Because I'm not the one that should be receiving any praise for it. He's the one that gets the praise. He's the one that gets the honor because he's the one that's opened the door. And he's the one that's kept the door open. And he's the one that's made the way for the visas, for the flights, for the transportation, for all the resources, for all the things that are necessary. He's done it. I haven't done it. He's the one that's done it. I've made mistakes and still it happens. And I could do everything perfectly and it not happen if it wasn't in the Lord's will. And so I just want us to be thankful to God for what he allows us to do, for the things that he allows us to be a part of. Because there are times, just like this evening, where there's five of us. And it can be like, wouldn't it be great to have 30 people singing, especially if our app actually worked right, or if somebody actually had a musical skill to stand up and lead us in music, because I certainly don't have that. Wouldn't that be nice? But you know what's nice? Is to know that the Lord has said, "Here's an open door. And I'm going to give you the strength to go through that open door. And you go through that open door. And when the door closes, I'll open another door. And I'll give you strength for that door. And you just keep going through those doors. Whenever they open, you go through them. If they close, thank the Lord that you had a part during that time of going through that door. And then go through the next one. And go through the next one. And thank the Lord that He has said, you know what? You're my child. You're going to be if you're faithful to me, I'm going to use you. He might not use you the way you think you're going to be used. Certainly true for myself. But He's going to use you. And it's going to bear fruit. Where that fruit may be, well, it may be in Harrogate. It may be in Nepal. It may be in India. It may be somewhere else completely. I remember when during the pandemic, there was on our website, we have all the sermons recorded. And I was looking and seeing that there was the usage of the recordings had shot up through the roof. I mean, they had gone, there was about 1,000 per month being listened to on the website. I was shocked. Well, there were countries that I had never even heard of where they were listening to sermons from our website. And I was shocked, like, well, how did they even hear of it? How did they even know of it? Because I've never heard from them. Well, who knows? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they heard about it. I mean, what happens is they heard the gospel. They heard God's word. And then there's fruit from that. That's the Lord opening a door. That's us going through that door. That's maintaining a website. And you think, well, you know, there's only 5 of us or 6 of us or whatever. Who's going to be listening to sermons on that random website? Well, there's people in the South Pacific listening to the website. Why? I don't know. But the Lord does it. Because it's the Lord's work. Because He allows us to go through and do things for His glory's sake. And that's what we desire. That His glory will be magnified. That He will be lifted up. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful even for the little bits that we get to do. Even for the little things that we get to do. Whether it's turning on the speaker. Whether it's setting up the books in the back. Whether it's whatever it might be. Say, oh, you know what? I was a part of what the Lord had for us today. And that's an honor. That's a blessing. The psalm that we read, Psalm 72, all the things that were said about Solomon. What does David say? He said, oh, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He'd rather be a doorkeeper. He just wants to open and shut the door. Let alone anything else. He said, then to dwell in the tents of kings. He doesn't want to be well known. He doesn't want to be the richest man, the most powerful man. He wants to be with the Lord. And if that means being in the smallest corner, far away, and He's only opening and shutting a door, then that is enough. That's enough for Him. He doesn't need more than that. And that's the question we have. Do we need more, or are we thankful for what He's able to do for us? For what He allows us to be a part of? And I hope that we can rejoice in the things that He allows us to be a part of. Not because, ooh, look at me. Look what I've accomplished. But this thankfulness to say, Lord, You've done this. It's clear that You've done this. It's Your work. And thank You for letting me be a part of Your work. And just give me the strength to be faithful as that door is open, to go through that door and to honor You as I do it, and not to honor myself. And so that was what was on my mind and my heart this evening. It wasn't a full-length sermon, but it was something that I wanted us to just be mindful of, because it's clear and obvious that this is something that the Lord has brought us to this point. And right now, there's very few steps remaining for us to go to India in a month and a half. And that's a shock. And I don't desire the flight, no matter what airline it's on. And I'm not desirous of trying to manage the food so I don't get sick. And I'm not desirous of all sorts of things. But what I am desirous of is to be going through an open door that God has clearly opened for His service. And I want to thank Him for that and praise Him and honor Him in all that I do because of it. And I hope that you can do that as well. And it reminds us of what Christ has done on the cross for us. For our sin. That if you trust Him, your sin is removed. Your sin is taken away. How can we not live in thankfulness all the time? Because we know that we are redeemed, that we are forgiven. And if you don't know that, then I point you to Jesus Christ. And I say, turn to Him. Turn to Him now, before it's too late. Trust Christ today. Amen.